Hello and welcome to W Rated, where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on our Road to Razzies, a special run of episodes looking at the nominations for the worst films of 2022, according to the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host, and editor Claire. Claire, do you want to tell us what film we're talking about this episode?
Today, we are talking about Samaritan, directed by Julius Avery and written by Braggy F. Shoot. The film has a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, has a 38% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 70% audience score, which is pretty high, both for us and for the Razzies. It is nominated for only one Razzie here, which is Worst Actor for Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised by that audience score.
Me too. But
then it's all relative because it's like, I don't know how many people have seen it. And I feel like it's one of those films that it's been marketed around him, right? Mm-hmm. So people that are watching it are gonna, it's what they're after, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. If you're reaching out for this, a Sylvester Stallone action movie in the 2020s, you know, I think you know what you're asking for.
Yeah, absolutely. You watched this for the pod, didn't you?
Yes, I watched it less than 24 hours ago. And my housemate, Jenny, who has complained about not being invited onto the podcast, but when I invite her onto the podcast, she suddenly changes her mind.
Right, okay, sure. Maybe we can get little sound bites from her.
I wish I had recorded her absolute rant last night as she ended up sitting down.
Oh, wow, so you watched it together?
Not purposely. She just kind of kept coming in and out and ended up sitting down and watching the end. And she was so angry.
I bet she's like, do you ever watch good films, Claire?
She didn't realise I was watching this for the podcast. She thought I had just chosen to watch it. And she was like, that was fucking shit. That was a rant. Just went on a rant. And I was like, well, I am watching it for the podcast. which made more sense to her.
And then the penny dropped.
Mm-hmm. But she had a lot of issues with the film, a lot of issues with the plot, a lot of issues with the acting, issues with the look of the villain. She was very pro that man. Every time he arrived on screen, she went, he's really hot. But then she got incredibly enraged at the final set piece, which is a big battle in a warehouse that's on fire. And she just kept lecturing me on smoke inhalation and how smoke inhalation is a real thing and a real killer.
And that's what kills people as opposed to the burning most of the time.
She was very aggressively angry about the lack of smoke inhalation going on in that big final scene.
Sure. I mean, sometimes the thrills aren't enough for people. You do need to ground it in some form of reality. People can only suspend their disbelief. I never remember which one it is. Suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
So far. So, studios, take note.
Jenny says smoke inhalation is real.
Well, indeed.
Yeah, I didn't have such a physical reaction as she did, but I definitely, this was, I say, a smidge better than I expected. Just because when I see an action movie starring a veteran action star that's been nominated for Razzie films, my mind goes to places. And this was not quite as bad as the films that we looked at last year, starring Bruce Willis. This is not quite in that caliber. This does have a bit more money to it. And this was, I don't know if Amazon Prime actually funded it, but they definitely distributed it. I don't know if, but it did seem to have more of a budget. It seemed a bit more cohesive. It definitely seemed better filmed. I still wouldn't say
it felt mid-budget, which we don't have a lot of these days. No. So and that was quite nice.
Yeah, you could see where it was weaker than kind of big, massive blockbuster films. But to be honest, I think most of the reasons this film wasn't for me is because I don't think, even with all the money in the world, I don't know if this film would have been for me.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, that's kind of my opinion. Just going back to what you were saying about not having the money the big blockbusters have, I kind of welcomed that because it wasn't like a CGI sludge. And I liked that. It felt a bit more grounded. It felt a bit more character focused. And yeah, it wasn't brilliant. And I've just looked back at my Letterboxd score and I actually gave it 2.5, which is quite low for me. I know it's middle of the road, but do we know me? Yes, we do. And I think mainly that was for the writing. of like things like the dialogue.
And just even the general plot, like the
yeah,
kind of,
I think the plot
was
a bit meandering.
The things that need to happen to get them all to the ending doesn't feel natural and feels so contrived. And I just couldn't really follow what the point of some of it was sometimes.
So I watched this when it, roundabout when it came out, which would have been,
I
always
want to say
films
August.
Come out, they then don't.
The poster says
yes,
new
August.
Movie, August
so
26th.
So it's quite a while ago now. So yeah, I forgot most of it. But I can't disagree with you, because I think if it was a good plot, I would have remembered more of it. I think, yeah, I just, I remember the characters. I remember liking it. I think it had a bit of charm. Again, like I say, I think I enjoyed it more because it felt more contained and grounded. I felt the world felt more real when you've got all the CGI, big stakes. It just gets a bit lost sometimes. Like I watched Ant-Man Quantumania, so you could actually say that the stakes were super small. But it's just, you glaze over, my eyes just glaze over, you know. I enjoyed it, but when it's the same thing every time, and I'm not saying that Samaritan was anywhere near super original, super being the key word there, but it was at least doing something a little bit different. It kind of reminded me of Unbreakable.
Yes, I can see Unbreakable, yeah.
And it felt a lot more of a grounded superhero, but not in the way that the DC guys have done that, which is just, you know,
darkness.
Yeah, it, you know, here we go again. Let's go back to the plot. Might help us explain a little
bit
of what
Let me see if I can do it in less than 2 minutes. Because I only watched it
2 minutes? Was there that much of a plot?
No, which is why I'm going to see if I can do it.
Okay.
We're waffly people and we know it.
I reckon
we are normal episodes. Two hours plus. How is everyone enjoying our new shorter episodes? Please don't say you love them, because then we'll have to think about what to do for the real episodes. Okay.
Maybe intermissions.
Intermission.
Some Benny Hill music or something.
Taylor Swift will go home. Right, so in Samaritan, we follow a young boy who is obsessed with an old superhero called Samaritan. We learn at the start of the movie that many, many moons ago, Samaritan and his twin brother Nemesis were locked in a battle, and they just were indestructible and kept destroying the world. Nemesis wanted to destroy the world around him. Samaritan wanted to help the world and stop Nemesis. And we learned that Nemesis was killed and Samaritan disappeared. This young boy is obsessed with finding Samaritan. He thinks, like many conspiracy theorists, that Samaritan lives. He gets involved. It's a really bad area, really bad kind of world, a little bit not post-apocalyptic, but just shit's bad. And he gets involved with some kind of gang people and some drug dealers, and a neighbour in his block of flats, who's played by Sylvester Stallone, takes an interest, and we discover that he is imbued with superpowers, and our young man believes he is Samaritan. Whilst this is happening, the drug dealers find the weapon that Nemesis forged, which is the only weapon that could kill Nemesis and Samaritan, the only weapon strong enough. And they are going to use it to take over the city and rule the world. And I couldn't really figure out what they were doing, other than they wanted to be in charge and wanted money, maybe. That's a bit what confused me. They realize
money, power,
that all the stuff that men want. They then realise that Sylvester Stallone is perhaps Samaritan, so they kidnap the young boy to draw him out. Big fight in shoes. And then there's a twist, which I greatly enjoyed. And if you haven't watched it and you do want to watch it, mute now. Or
I actually forgot about this twist,
which is the bit that I liked of the film. The twist turns out that Sylvester Stallone is not Samaritan, he is Nemesis, and that he killed Samaritan long ago and felt really bad about it because it was his brother. And so that's why he disappeared, because, you know, shit happened. And so that's why he doesn't want to be in the spotlight, because he's not the hero that people want. He's the bad guy. And then he saves the day and disappears into the darkness. And that was kind of the film. And that took me 3 minutes.
Yeah. Now you've said the twist, I'm really shocked with my score. Like, I remember it with rose-tinted.
The twist wasn't enough to save the film.
Maybe it was just a bit too late. And I bet you any money that the runtime would have got me. Oh no, hour 40. Maybe the pacing just dragged.
But it felt much longer. It was really dragging.
Yeah. I think there were some nice elements, but it didn't come together.
There was way too much time on the villains, whose purpose never really, other than just we're villains and we want to do bad stuff. And we spent so much time with them. So much time with them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because actually, Sylvester Stallone's character, I think his civilian name's Joe. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did I remember that? And the young boy, like, and the mum his mum, doesn't he?
His mum is played by the actress who was in Orange is the New Black as Diaz. Yes.
Yeah. So it would have been really nice to if you're going to have, like, if I'm going to choose between who we're going to spend our time with, having it a bit more like a, not kitchen sink drama, but you know, like those films where it's just all about unlikely friendships, where you've got like people who are a bit down on their luck,
yeah,
and they're supporting each other in these communities. And then
I think they wanted it to be like a cute buddy comedy between the kid and the adult, which like is really that sells, like, you know, older generation looking after younger generation.
It used to be a comedy. I don't remember that.
No, not a comedy, but you know what I mean, like that kind of thing.
Oh, like, sure. Like a feel, like a
good. You know, just there's a lot of that where it's like an older guy looks out for a young kid without a dad. And the guy's grizzled, and you know we've seen it. Pedro Pascal. God, you saw it. What's his face in Gran Torino? I mean, it was very racist, but it was what he was going for. So
I haven't seen it, so I will not.
Clint
Eastwood, racist. What do you mean?
Just to completely interject, did you spot Rico from Hannah Montana?
I did.
Yeah.
That was a blast from the past. I love these cameos from my youth.
Yeah. Yeah,
that definitely maybe set up and go, wait, hold on a second. I think he's in some newer stuff coming out now as well.
He works quite regularly. He does. He's worked consistently for the last few years.
He's a character actor, isn't he? So I'm quite surprised by my by my low score. But as you say, I think there are elements of it that I'm remembering that I liked, but I just don't think they pulled it through. They didn't. They weren't strong enough to hold up the stuff that was weak, which was just a. I think it was like the pacing, the plot. It just wasn't. It had interesting ideas. It had elements and ingredients to it that could have been really interesting, but it just kind of ended up being a bit meh. That's generally what my 2.5 stars are. That was okay.
It was very meh.
That was okay. And if it's that was okay is in a positive way, it'll be 3. But if it was, oh, that was okay, that'll be a 2.5. I mean, the nominations for Sylvester Stallone, what do you think about his performance?
I mean, it wasn't a great performance, but it's what Sylvester Stallone does, isn't it?
Exactly. What are people... I'm not really sure what people are expecting at this stage.
Like, it is even... Like, Rocky's great. Rocky's fucking brilliant. But even back in Rocky, it was never like he was, like, a man of many words or great expression. It was his kind of lack of expression and his, like, kind of his eyes almost that always would sell his kind of earnestness. I didn't really think... It didn't surprise me at all from any kind of work of his I've seen recently. And I would say I'm not the biggest Stallone fan or follower. Don't have any issue with him either. He just doesn't make the kind of films that I find myself interested in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe he is normally a really powerful performer and this one just wasn't it.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just looking back to, like, what he's been doing before this film. He was King Shark's voice, which in the Suicide Squad, which it was quite funny, but again, it's not as if it's like an Oscar winning performance. He did Rambo Last Blood in 2019.
I haven't seen
I don't think that went down very well.
And then a lot of them are just like, right. And there's a few other ones here, some shorts and video games, some things that I don't recognise. And then we're going back to like Creed 2. I don't know if you've seen the Creed.
I tried watching the first one on the cruise, on a cruise with my housemate, and she got really mad and hated it, and we turned it off. But also, he's not like the main, he's a supporting in that.
So yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't seen much of him to have a like a baseline. However, he's in this new show called Tulsa King, which is getting really good ratings. It's got like an 8.2 on IMDb, and he's leading in that. So I wonder if he's showing a bit of a resurgence there. But yeah, like it's not like he's fallen from grace in any sort of way of, you know, that we've seen, like Tom Hanks. We're not talking like a Tom Hanks thing here, like we did with Pinocchio. Like,
are you saying Sylvester Stallone is a better actor than Tom Hanks?
What I'm saying
she
is,
she said it here.
The line is straighter, whereas Tom Hanks has gone down.
The fall was higher.
Sylvester Stallone is a more consistent actor. Is what, yeah, I guess I'm saying.
Gonna use that in the promos.
But you know, I mean I've seen him in the first Rambo. Isn't even called Rambo, is
First
it?
Blood
it's called,
I think,
First Blood,
is it? Oh, I don't know.
And is it, no, I think that's a colon, that's a sequel, I think. What is it called? See what I mean? We're not really the people to be.
No, it is First Blood. I am right.
It is called First
Blood.
Oh, well done. Well done. Well, it's less that, and it's more that you don't really like action films, do you? So I think between us, we haven't really got the greatest baseline to go on. But at the same time, I think we understand who Sylvester Stallone is an actor. And he doesn't do a bad job here. He's just what I expected. And also the character he's playing is like a grumpy, grizzled curmudgeon of a man who used to be evil and killed his own brother, and now he's dealing with it. Like, and it's in an action superhero film. Like, what do you guys want?
Yeah.
I thought it was fine for what it was. So I'm not sure. Maybe these people voting are like living in the heyday of Rocky, and they're like, I don't know, they're kind of painting him with the, and I don't want to say the same brush as Bruce Willis, because obviously we know that there's a whole health issue around that. But before we found out about that, and there are other action stars that have kind of been in films that are much cheaper and nowhere near as good, and people are kind of like, what's happened to you? Why are you doing this? And I think they've kind of tarred him with the same brush here, when this isn't that. Personally, don't think that this is that at all. Just because it's gone to streaming doesn't mean it's a bad, cheap film.
No, not at all. And it's funny, because if I was nominating it for a Razzie, it wouldn't be in this category. It would be in it would be in screenplay. But we've said that about other films on our Road to Razzies. And it's interesting that this one's one of those ones that's only popped in as a worst actor, when this is taken, like, based on the films that have multiple nominations, this seems to have taken the place of Chris Pratt in Jurassic World, because Jurassic World is nommed in pretty much every other category.
Right.
And this seems to have taken that spot. Not saying that Chris Pratt deserved it in any way, shape, or form. So it's almost like they all decided what their worst films were, but they didn't really agree that the films were bad because of acting. So that's why we've not got a Jurassic World actor nom. And so they've probably had to go through the films that they saw and being like, well, okay, what was my next worst film? I've done those five and I didn't think any of those actors were too bad. So what else did I think was bad? And like, they've all just come along to this one, maybe? I don't really know.
I mean, that's how I would do it, probably. I wouldn't be able to remember everything I'd seen by, like, performance, per se.
Yeah. So, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think we always, you know, you can't untangle voting for stuff away from people's opinions on the actors themselves, the genre, the expectations. And I think this is another one that's been kind of been mixed up in that a little bit. I think this is a a very middle of the road film. And interestingly, when I watched it, because it was just my sort of like top of the list for the week. And I watched it and I hadn't really heard about it or seen much marketing, but after I'd seen it, it was advertised quite a lot on Amazon mm-hmm. Prime before you watch stuff. So I think they did like a bit of a second put. And I mean, look, I watched this film because it was top of the list in IMDb. So lots of people were watching it around the world, and then they did a second push for the marketing. So maybe it was a big marketing push, a big priority for Prime. And because of that, a lot more people saw it and a lot of people didn't really rate it. And they associated it with Sylvester Stallone afterwards more than anything.
I don't think you're wrong at all. But you're right in two ways, and you're two ways contradicting yourselves. Because yeah, like probably those people saw it, and the ones that didn't like it reacted. But then, you know, looking back at that Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 70% audience score of over 1,000 ratings.
Oh yeah,
so it is
right.
Like, although obviously it's an aggregator rather than a, but you know, we use our ways to do things are flawed. It has only got a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. So yeah, I think it was probably just a real hit and miss, a bit of a Marmite, depending probably on both your love of kind of action-y films and your love of Sylvester Stallone. But if it was being really heavily pushed on Amazon, then yeah, probably a lot of people saw it, which is how it's ended up in the Razzies.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's like all of these contradicting things are happening. It was popular, and it got a relatively good score on Rotten Tomatoes, which means, but again, like you say, it's aggregated and it's like a yes or no thing. It's not a rating per se. But then that doesn't mean that people enjoyed his performance. So you've probably got a circle of people within that crossed over, the people that liked and disliked the film, that were a bit like, nah, I don't really rate that performance. And because it was seen by so many people, that group is actually so large that it ends up getting nominated mm-hmm. for something. But yeah, I have to say, I'm quite surprised by this nomination. When you sent through the list, I didn't even recognise, did I, that I'd seen it before. No, I forgot I'd seen it because the name just didn't ring a bell, which is hilarious. So yeah, I don't really have much more to say on the performance or the film, but I mean, I, like I said a few times already, like I think I remember it better than I felt at the time. And I think that's just a time thing. Like I didn't rate Midsommar when I watched it, and I think fondly of all the things I did enjoy about it since. So I think the things that I don't remember are probably the reason why I found it a bit run of the mill down the middle. Because I've forgotten those bits.
And I just need to preface, probably before the end of this episode, that Midsommar is 100 times better than this film.
Oh my god, yeah, no, that wasn't a comparison in any way.
She's saying Tom Hanks is the worst actor than Sylvester Stallone. She's saying Samaritan's a better film than Midsommar. Who is Daisy today?
Listen, I've got to get my engagement some way or another. And controversial takes seem to be doing well.
There you go.
But no, believe it or not, I think I did give Midsommar like a low score when I came out of the cinema, though. And then like retrospectively have just like gone, oh, I actually really like that film. And it's sitting on my Blu-ray shelf and having not been watched since. And I'm pretty sure I'm staring at it right now and I can see it. Maybe I will watch that as a treat after watching all of these Razzie films. You cry like Florence Pugh. Just to kind of cleanse. Maybe we should all do a joint cry like Florence Pugh at the end of this Road to Razzies, just to cleanse ourselves.
I agree.
Of the grief. Anyway, that took a random turn, but there we are. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you can join us for the next episode where we keep running down that road on the way to the Razzies 2023. See you then.
He would have no hair left on his head. He's a child. After like interviewing people, been like, oh my god, look how great Samaritan is. He would have had some inhalation. Putting like a metal jacket on isn't going to do anything, do you know? Serious thing.
According to Wikipedia, which is a very, you know, serious source of medical doctors and whatnot, smoke inhalation injury is the most common causes of death in fire victims.
So the US Fire Administration reported almost 1.3 million fires in 2019, causing 3,704 deaths and almost 17,000 injuries. So it does say the age group with the highest rate of death from smoke inhalation is people over 85. So clearly Sylvester Stallone should be dead. Just saying.